A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. Proverbs 13:22. Hi, I'm Rob West. That verse seems pretty straightforward, and yet it leaves several questions unanswered. Exactly what should we leave to our kids? How much and when? Ron Blue joins us today with the answers. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest, financial teacher and author Ron Blue, literally wrote the book on this important topic. It's called Splitting Heirs, Giving Your Money and Things to Your Children Without Ruining Their Lives. That pretty much says it all. And by the way, if you haven't read the book and you're thinking about this idea of wealth transfer, it's a must read. Ron, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Rob, as always.
Ron, we've had calls from folks who even take out insurance policies just so they can leave something to their children, who in many cases are already grown up and out of the house. Does Proverbs 13:22 mean we should always leave money to our children and grandchildren?
I don't interpret it that way, Rob. I think that leaving money to my children and or grandchildren in many cases may be a bad idea. And I don't take this as a command. I take this as a principle. When that was written, there were no charitable organizations. So wealth stayed within the family typically. And what it's saying is when you accumulate wealth and you've done a good job at that, your grandchildren are going to end up with it, which is true. But it doesn't mean that I'm commanded to build wealth for my grandchildren at all. I don't interpret it that way at all.
Yeah. A spiritual inheritance? Absolutely, but not necessarily a financial inheritance. So, Ron, when are the times that we shouldn't leave money to our kids?
Well, I always tell people that if you believe that God owns it all, then the last decision you make as a steward is who gets his resources. So I think that if you leave financial resources to heirs that you know will waste it or use it in a ungodly way, I would have serious question as to whether you should leave that money to them. And so I counsel people that if you haven't left wisdom to your children and grandchildren, don't leave them money, because money never creates wisdom, but wisdom creates money. So wisdom first, money second is my counsel.
That's powerful. Ron, you've always been a great question asker. What's a question we can ask ourselves when we're contemplating this decision on leaving money to kids?
Well, I think the first question that both Judy and I, dealt with, and we spent 2 years answering the question of how we were going to leave wealth. And the question was, if we left, pick a number, 50,000, 100,000, a million, whatever the number is, to and name the child, what's the worst thing that can happen? And in our particular case with five children, we had five different answers to that question. But that's the right question to ask. And then you've got to answer, okay, if that's the worst thing that's going to happen, how likely is it to happen? And what are the consequences of it? So we had one child. We knew if we left money to them, they'd give it away. Well, that's not a bad consequence. But we had another son-in-law that if we had left money to that couple, it would have destroyed his need to provide for his family. That was a bad consequence. So answering that question, what's the worst thing that can happen, is a way to ask a really good question about wealth transfer.
Well, and that also means, Ron, that it's okay that we don't treat all of our heirs equally, right?
I get, every time I've been speaking, Rob, I share this principle, and I always get a lot of comment, and that is, if you love your children equally, you'll treat them uniquely, because they're unique individuals. And if you think about it, God loves all of us equally, but he doesn't treat us equally in terms of money and possessions and so forth. He's not punishing us. He's just saying that he knows what's best for us. So I think as a parent, I need to think, I love my children equally, and come back to that question, well, am I helping them or hurting them by leaving wealth to them? Or am I using God's resources in a way that I know will be wasted. That's not a good decision.
That's powerful. Ron, that was really well said and great insights. Thanks for stopping by.
Well, thank you for having me, Rob. Always a pleasure.
We'll be back with much more just around the corner. Stay with us.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. I remember some of our hopes and dreams for the future. Decades back, there was talk of flying cars and a colony on the moon. Some of those things may be getting closer to reality, but a peaceful world without disease or suffering hasn't come to pass. Compared to our dreams, the future is a disappointment. But in the book of Zechariah, the Lord declared that in the future, people from many nations would become His people. And then He said this, "Be still before the Lord, all mankind, because He's roused Himself from His holy dwelling." And you know, that is coming to pass. The gospel is going to the ends of the earth. And we can be still, because the future doesn't depend on us. Anchor Devotional, available in print monthly. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
We all have times of discouragement, but there is hope. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Hey, I have good news for you. God is the God of encouragement, and God has a good word from His word to encourage you, to lift you up, and to change your outlook.
Learn the power of simply having a godly outlook. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today on anything financial, 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and my sleeves are rolled up. I've had a cup of coffee, and I'm ready to go. What are you thinking about today financially? We'd love to hear from you, 800-525-7000. Are you wanting to share a story? Perhaps God's been at work in your financial life, maybe recently, or maybe over decades as you've been applying His truth and wisdom to your financial life. Maybe you've invited Him in to your financial life and you've seen Him work in miraculous ways, maybe helping you through a difficult time where there was a knock at the door unexpectedly when you didn't know how you were going to keep the lights on. Whatever it might be, we'd love to hear from you today. 800-525-7000. If you want to help navigating your retirement plan, getting out of debt, maybe giving more wisely or curbing your spending that's seemingly growing at an unending pace, we'd love to hear from you. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. All right, let's dive in. We're going to begin today in Rochester. Hey, David, thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead. David, are you with us?
David Swift is here.
Great.
Excellent. Buffalo, New York. Yes, sir. Well, shalom, Rob.
Hi there. And shalom to you.
And peace be with you. Yes, sir. Yes, my concern is about our, it's not so much personal. I mean, I'm in balance myself.
Okay. But
our national fiscal deficits and huge national debt, I feel, are morally wrong. Yeah. And I'm wondering, we've been living beyond our means for decades now in our country. And I wonder what the Bible and Holy Bible, God's Word, says about this. And I don't know. I haven't done the research. But perhaps you could discuss it, and I could give you my thoughts on it, too.
Yeah.
But I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Well, I think you're exactly right. I think these principles we see in God's Word apply to individuals and nations. In fact, a lot of what we read in God's Word was written to nations. And so when we look at each of these passages in context, we realize these were warnings and principles that were being directed toward the nations of the world. And we need to heed that wisdom. Clearly, we're not here in this country as it relates to that piece of it, with runaway sky-high debt that's just growing at an increasing rate. And I think for the first time in our lifetimes, it's a real problem in the sense that, yes, we're the largest and strongest economy in the world. And because of that, we enjoy a lot of flexibility and resiliency in our economy. When there's an economic crisis, investors buy U.S. debt. They don't sell it. They believe it's the safest investment in the world. And if we look at, one of the debt crisis or defaults, sovereign defaults in the past, like Iceland, for example, when that happened, the exact opposite happened. Folks were running away. And so, because of the safety the U.S. has been and demand for U.S. treasuries has remained strong because the debt is guaranteed by the power of one of the world's strongest economies, investors have great confidence in the U.S. Treasury. And that's why the U.S. dollar is so strong right now. But that doesn't mean we can continue on this trajectory. It makes me think, David, of a time when my friend Ron Blue, one of my mentors, popular author and teacher, he was testifying before a Senate subcommittee on low-income Americans, and one of the senators, I won't mention which one, asked the question, Ron, what would you tell the low-income American family about how they should handle money? He said, well, Senator, I'd tell them four things. I'd tell them to spend less than they earn and avoid debt and have some liquidity or margin in their financial life and set long-term goals. He pulled out his pen and started writing those down. And he said, Ron, it strikes me that this would work at any income level. And Ron quickly replied, you're correct, Senator, including the United States government. And, I think that's very true. I mean, we need to follow these principles, and clearly we're not. And at 130% debt to GDP, gross domestic product, we're getting up into the place where any nation in history who's reached this level has had some sort of debt crisis or default. Again, can we weather it at our current levels? Yes, we can, because of the size and the resiliency and ingenuity of our workers and our economy, but we're not on the right path. And a debt crisis or default in this country, which is plausible down the road, would result in some pretty steep implications in terms of a downgrade of our credit quality and sky-high interest rates and inflation and unemployment. And it would be very difficult and painful. And the question is, are we going to get serious about tackling this? Not just these debt ceiling debates that we get. We're going to have another one, in a few months here. But really a serious debate about what is it going to take to start to live within our means and begin to get this debt coming down, and as opposed to growing. And, our monetary supply, which is not wealth, it's just printing presses and creating money, which is inflationary. And, we're seeing the effects of what the Federal Reserve has done, for a long time in the form of 40-year high inflation right now. So we've got some real challenges. I think the good news is there are folks on the political landscape that understand this, that understand the severity of it, are willing to tackle it. And I think, we just need to show up at the polls and vote for people who understand God's design for economies and wealth creation, that people are a blessing, not a curse. And we were created to be productive and to take God's creation and to improve it and reorder it and grow it. And there's a virtuous cycle of productivity and wealth expansion and generosity back to the God who gave it to us in the first place, that is a part of God's design that we need to embrace. And when we do that, we'll see expansion and growth. And that's part of why we've seen the U.S. Take off like a rocket ship in terms of our growth versus countries far older than we are. It's not because the soil's any richer here. There's plenty of parts of the world that have more rich natural resources. Is not because of anything other than we were created, and our founding fathers built this on biblical principles. And God has a design for economies and nations and work that is a part of his created order. But when we violate that, there are problems that we will see, and clearly there are plenty of areas, including this area of national debt, where we are violating it. So Jerry Boyer and I, our resident economist, talked about this recently, and Jerry raised the question. He said, could God punish the U.S. for this? I mean, clearly God can do whatever he wants, but I would say he probably doesn't have to, because piling on too much debt causes its own problems, and we're going to pay the penalty for that at some point if we don't make some serious changes. So I don't think we can stay on this track by any means, and it's going to be really interesting to watch whether folks in Washington will get serious about this. But those are my thoughts in no particular order. Tell me what your thoughts are, David.
Well, that it was an excellent overview, Rob. Amazing. Is Jerry Boyer, is it B-O-Y-E-R?
B-O-W-Y-E-R. He'll be on with us tomorrow, actually. He joins us each Friday. But you can also take a look at the episode that we did on the U.S. debt with Jerry recently.
Oh, very good. Yes. Well, and you've given a generous amount of time to my question. Thank you. I know others want to talk to you. So I would just say I'm really worried for my grandchildren and my children even, and child, and that we, and that the churches maybe address this more. I have a friend this morning who said, why aren't the churches more engaged in this kind of discussion? And I know they don't want to be political, but and you did raise very good points about the debt ceiling and that, which is, it's dangerous. I mean,
Really is. I've got to hit a break here, David. Appreciate your call. The big idea here is we need to trust the Lord and manage our own finances according to his wisdom. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Do you believe a return to God is necessary in America? As stated by well-known teacher Martin Lloyd-Jones, revival is the Spirit working in extraordinary measure, a repetition to some degree of what happened at Pentecost. I'm Sam Rohr, host of Stand in the Gap Weekend, heard Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. Join Pastor Steve Harrelson, Evangelist Dave Kistler, and Pastor Harold Vaughn as they present Creating an Atmosphere for God to Bring Revival to America, Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
I can just turn that radio station on and it just comforts me. It gives me peace. It gives me hope.
AFR is sharing the love of God, and we'd like to know how that has affected you.
I just want to thank God so much for Christian radio and especially AFR.
Call 877-876-8893 and give us a minute or two about AFR in your life. Call in your AFR story today.
Keep up the good work. You're an inspiration to me.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
Here in the Foundation, we help families just like yours to shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
Give us a call today at 800-326-4543. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. If you want clarity into your budget, your spending plan in a way that you haven't had it before, check out the FaithFi app. It's easy to use, it's simple, it's a beautiful interface, and it'll give you a look and control over your finances that you've been looking for, perhaps. Check it out today, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click app, or you can search for FaithFi in your app store. All right, back to the phones we go to Illinois. Hi, Thomas, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Can you turn it down? Yeah, thank you. Hi, my name is Tom. I've been out of work since January 1st and haven't made any income, and I'm due to be out of work for about 12 more weeks, hopefully. I'll be out of a job, actually, but I'm trying to take out money from my 401k without a penalty, but I don't know if that's possible.
Yes, it is possible. I mean, obviously, we always want to use that as a last resort because the money in there is best used when it's compounding over time. Then you can, you know, rely on it as a part of your supplement to retirement income in that season. But obviously, you've got to do what you've got to do if you find yourself out of work. And there is a provision that would allow you to miss the penalty on this, even though it's always going to be taxable and added to your taxable income. So the IRS allows you, Tom, to take a hardship distribution from your 401k, and they're pretty loose in this, although you'd always want to check with your CPA for the specifics in your situation, but they want to be able to allow you to prevent eviction or foreclosure on a principal residence, medical care expenses, the education expenses. I mean, certain things, if you're experiencing a material and significant hardship financially, which clearly in the loss of a job you often are, where you can avoid that 10% penalty, that certainly takes the bite out of this, even though, you know, you are going to pay taxes on it, and then it's no longer there to grow for the future. But if this is really the only asset that you have to tap into, I would say you absolutely can do that. And the place to go would be to consult with your CPA to make sure that you will, in fact, qualify for this hardship provision so that you can avoid that 10% penalty. And then, of course, take out as little as you possibly can. And the good news is we're in a really strong labor market overall, where there's now two jobs available for every one worker looking for one. Although I understand, you know, depending on the season of life you're in, the skill set and training you have in the area of, you know, the industry that you're in, that may or may not always play itself out in terms of the availability of work. But that's at least, you know, how you should look at the 401k.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, Thomas. Hey, listen, all the best to you, and we'll ask the Lord to really provide what it is that's next for you sooner rather than later. And good news is he's on the throne. He's our provider, not the government, not your employer, not anyone else, and he can be trusted. 800-525-7000. I've got a few lines open. Pat's standing by to take your calls. We'll get you on the air quickly, and you can call anonymously if you'd like. 800-525-7000. Let's head to Texas. Hi, Kane. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good morning. You kind of answered my question. I put 3% in my 401k, and I wanted to go to the 6% because I'm able to do it now, and they do me dollar for dollar. But I was afraid, like, everything is not too good right now. Should I do it or not?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you're getting a dollar for dollar match on this money before the market, you're getting 100% return on your money guaranteed. You're not going to find that anywhere else. So let's take full advantage of that match up to that 6%. I would set as a target when you're able to 10 to 15% of your pay going into your retirement account. But it's a no-brainer to fully maximize that match because, again, that's free money. In terms of stock market investing right now, I think this is actually a great time to invest. You know, when we go to the store shopping, we love the idea of buying when there's a sale or a discount. Well, you might want to look at the market today as being on sale. Your stock prices are down. So this is a great time for you to begin systematically moving into the market through your retirement plan contributions so that as this market recovers, and I know we started today by talking about the debt ceiling and the U.S. national debt and the potential for a debt crisis down the road, I don't think, even though that's on the horizon as a possibility where I don't think it has been in the past, I don't think we're going to experience that anytime soon. This market, in my view, will fully recover and move to new highs once we understand the severity of a potential recession later this year, and it will recover ahead of the economy because, remember, the market looks out at least 6 months and anticipates where everything is headed. So I think this is a great time for you to not only increase it, your contributions to your 401k, but be systematically moving into this market and dollar cost averaging in, okay?
Yes, sir. I have one more question.
Sure.
You said slowly work it up to 15%. Did I understand right?
Well, I'm just saying your goal for your retirement contributions is 10 to 15% of your pay. If you do that over a long period of time, that's going to help you save enough so that you can truly, with Social Security, cover your expenses in retirement.
Should I do the 6% here and then build the other one like in something else? Like or should I do it all in the same area?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing after you get to the 6% in the retirement plan to maximize the match, the only thing you may want to consider is doing the next portion in a Roth IRA just because you get the tax-free growth. You don't have a Roth option in your 401k, do you?
No, I can look into it. I'm not
yeah.
really sure.
I would ask about that. You may not, though. And if not, you could open a Roth IRA. But whether you do it all in the retirement plan, the 401k, or you add a Roth to it, doesn't really matter to me. If you do it all in the 401k, it's going to keep it simpler because then you don't have a second account that you have to pick the investments and all of that. You could just have it all in one place. So I'd probably, you know, either open the Roth if you want to take that on, or if not, just do the full 10 to 15% in your current plan.
All right. Thank you, sir. Miss Dan, and love you, brother in Christ.
All right. Thank you. We do, too. And although I didn't have the privilege of knowing Dan personally, I had incredible respect for Dan from afar. And there's still we still hear from folks all the time that are just so grateful for Dan and the ministry that he had for a long time here on American Family Radio. And he's in the face of Jesus right now, so he's doing great. But we know that a lot of folks miss him dearly, and we appreciate you mentioning that today. God bless you, my friend. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, back with more of your questions and maybe a testimony or two of God's faithfulness. 800-525-7000. Stick around.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Tragically, many Christians have become better known for judging people rather than loving them. On the next Focus on the Family, a former lesbian professor, completely transformed by Christ, helps us better understand how to meet the needs of others and reach them with God's love. Next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
45,000.
That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
You know, when we seek first the kingdom of God, all of these things will be added unto us. We don't want to take our cues from this world. We want to love God and not money and allow money to be a tool to accomplish His purposes. That's what we focus on here on this program each day, Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, applying a biblical worldview to your handling of God's money as a steward or a manager or a trustee of His resources. Let's do that together. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Let's head back to the phones. Hi, Mary in Nebraska. Thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling in behalf of my son. He moved to Texas from Colorado last year and asked advice from some of his coworkers as to who should do his taxes. So when he went to this person's business, it was her house, and she does this after hours. And when he left, he told me she gave him three pieces of paper, I don't know what they were, and didn't do his Colorado return. So he called me asking for advice, and I didn't know what to tell him.
Yeah. Well, so the key, I think, would be to connect with a CPA where he has moved to in Texas to perhaps look at what was filed and what gaps exist. Because obviously, if there wasn't a return filed for the state of Colorado, you know, that needs to be done, at least this final return, before he begins, you know, moving forward with being a resident of Texas. The good news is, I mean, this is not uncommon and it won't create any problems. He just needs to get on top of it so he doesn't have any deficiency balance that's, you know, adding penalties and fees. But I think the key is to find a CPA that can help him navigate that, make sure that he is in compliance and everything has been filed and paid. And he wants to do that pretty quickly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was kind of what I thought, but I didn't really know for sure. And she charged him quite a bit of money to do this, but regardless, he needs to have it done correctly.
Yeah, that's right. And if he did pay her quite a bit of money, I mean, perhaps starting there would be a good idea, just to say, listen, I feel like, you know, this wasn't done in its entirety. And I'd like to know kind of what I paid for, what was filed and what wasn't. And if it wasn't, why? And, you know, see if you can get her to rectify the situation without any additional out of pocket costs. But obviously he knows the situation better. And if he feels like he'd be better served, even if it costs a little bit more, just to move on from that relationship because he didn't get good service, I would understand that. But obviously starting there, if he could get her to rectify the situation without any additional expense, would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm not sure you could trust what she does, though. So
sure. Yeah. And
I'm kind of the mind to go somewhere else, just have somebody look over what she did, do his Colorado return, do an amendment if he needs to. But
yes.
I will certainly let him know what you have said and have him make a decision accordingly.
Great. Well, thank you, Mary. I know this is a difficult situation, but he'll get it resolved and he can move on from there and learn from it. Thanks for your call today. 800-525-7000 to Ohio. Hey, Vaughn, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes. My question, I hope I'm not thinking crazy about this. I'm going to withdraw about $19,000. I'm a retired correctional officer out of a deferred compensation fund to pay off some bills. Am I wasting my time of thinking that maybe I should maybe roll that into an IRA, maybe then into a Roth, and take small installments to maybe gain a little money along the way, or am I wasting my time and just withdraw it, pay the bills, and forget about it?
Well, let's back up and just talk a little bit higher level about your financial life. So you're fully retired at this point, is that correct?
That's correct, sir.
Okay. And what are you living off of right now?
We're living off my pension. I have a part-time job. I have Social Security.
Okay.
And my wife has a small personal business that brings in a few hundred dollars, and that varies a month.
Okay, very good. And do you all typically have a surplus at the end of the month?
Actually, very little. Sometimes okay. We have a little, but usually we're just pretty much taking care of business.
Yeah, and are you both claiming Social Security now? I know you said you were. Is she as well?
No, she is not eligible yet.
Okay.
She has, she's got a couple, three more years before she'll be able to do that.
Okay. And is the idea here, Vaughn, that you guys are just trying to kind of make it to that point, and then once she starts collecting Social Security, if you needed to stop working and she did too, would that make up the gap?
Well, it could, but basically, at this stage of the game, I'm 70 years old, and I just want everything paid for and just try to enjoy the rest of my life, sir.
Sure. But what I'm trying to solve for is the amount of income you need to maintain your lifestyle and where that's going to come from. And obviously you're continuing to work and that's great. God created us to be workers and you've got, sounds like plenty to contribute here, both in your wisdom and skill set. There may come a time though where you're unable to work. And so the question would just be, how are we going to cover the bills if that's the case? And let's say your wife ends up shutting down that business at some point. And would you expect that between your pension and then the two Social Securities, you'd just try to live off of that, correct?
And we could, absolutely.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's great. Now, so you're not touching the deferred comp currently, correct?
Right.
All right, and how much is in that deferred comp?
I withdrew a huge amount of that a couple years ago, and it left me with only about $35,000.
$35,000. All right. And then what are the bills you're looking to pay?
Pardon me?
What are the bills you're looking to pay that you mentioned another withdrawal for?
Okay. These are basically charges, things of that nature that we irresponsibly were not good stewards about.
All right. Is this on a credit card?
A lot of it is. Yes, sir.
All right. And what's the total that you owe that you're looking to pay off?
That's why. Well, when I say 19,000, of course, you know, that included the tax burn I had to pay to withdraw about $14,000.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I guess the question is, are you asking, should I take it out all at once or should I do it over time? Is that your question?
Well, in this deferred comp, in this program that it's in, it grows at a virtual snail's pace.
Sure.
So I'm not really making any money, but it's very safe. I'm not losing any money, but I'm certainly not making any money. And so that's my question. Would it be better, again, to just pay off these bills and try to get, solvent and then work with what income we have? Or would it be better to put it in a Roth or something that might gain a little money and just pay on these bills withdrawing from a Roth or something?
Yeah, I think the challenge is I don't want you, if you haven't corrected the problem that got you into the debt in the first place, I don't want you to pull this money out of the deferred comp, wipe it out, and then call me back in 6 months and say, okay, now the deferred comp's half of what it was, and guess what? The credit cards are back. So do you feel like you've corrected the problem that got you into the debt in the first place?
Yeah, and it's simply I consider myself a devout Christian, so at this point, and I'm going to my faith, and I wish I had the conviction I have now as a 70-year-old man, 30 years ago.
Yeah. Let's do this. I've got to hit a quick break. You stay on the line. We'll finish up just on the other side. This is Faith and Finance. We'll be right back.
When I read the book of Esther, it just fires up my encouragement. It reminds me that when things look so bleak that you're just about ready to write the obituary, God rises up from the ash heap of your misdirected hopes, and He reverses the irreversible.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, Esther, for such a time as this. Next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, my name is Todd Friel. I am the host of Wretched Radio, heard right here on American Family Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight Central Standard Time. Not to brag, but Wretched Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight is the single best Christian radio program on American Family Radio at that time period. That's right. We hope that you'll join us Saturday night. See for yourself from 10 p.m. till midnight for Wretched Radio on American Family Radio.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Yeah, here's my goal, is that when you join us for this program each day, that you'd leave encouraged, that you would replace fear with faith, that you'd be able to pursue God with your whole self, that you'd be completely surrendered in Him, and that your money would go along with that. The way you spend your money would be reflected in what's most important to you, and that you'd be able to pursue God and give generously, finding contentment and joy and satisfaction by having a vision that's much grander than yourself. That's God's heart for you, I believe, as I read the scriptures, and I believe money can serve us in that way as we serve the Lord. 800-525-7000. And just before the break, we were talking to Vaughn in Ohio. He was sharing that he's a retired corrections officer. He's got a deferred comp. Between his pension and his wife's side job and his part-time work and a couple of at least one Social Security check, they're meeting their obligations. And when she starts earning Social Security, they should have enough to live on the rest of their lives. But through some spending beyond their means, they racked up about $14,000 in debt, and that plus a tax bill that he has, he needs about $19,000, wondering if he should pull that from a deferred comp. And I appreciated what you said just before the break, Vaughn, that really you're just trying to pursue the Lord and all areas of your life, including financial management. And you all believe, or what you've seen, at least over the last number of months, is that you've been able to live within your means and you're not continuing to add to your debt, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So then I think this is an option. Now, just because the deferred comp is not doing a whole lot right now doesn't mean it can't. So, I would love for you to preserve that, roll it out to an IRA, even if you didn't convert it to a Roth, which I know you suggested you might want to do that. That'd be a big tax bill. But regardless, whether you do a traditional or a Roth, it could be invested in some really high quality investments that could grow from this point. I mean, the market's down. And so this would be a great opportunity for you over the next 5 or 10 years to grow this 35 to 60 or so. And, that could provide a little supplemental income. I mean, if we just pull 4% out a year, that'd be an extra $2,500 a year, or, or $2,400 a year, $200 a month that you all could use to supplement your bills. That would be nice. And that would be one of the benefits of keeping this where it is. But $14,000 in, I think, all, if it's not all credit card debt, it's mostly credit card debt. You're paying a lot of interest on that right now, and you're certainly not getting anywhere near that on your deferred comp. So I could understand if you don't have a whole lot of margin where you could attack this diligently, why you'd want to go ahead and wipe it out. So I'd probably either do one of two things, either just go ahead and wipe it out, but just be really committed to sticking to your budget and not incurring any more debt moving forward, or roll that deferred comp out to an IRA, get it invested in some high quality mutual funds, and then put that credit card debt into a debt management program with my friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They'd get the interest rates down, and then you could make much more progress toward paying that off more quickly, and that would allow you to preserve the deferred comp.
Understood. Okay. I think that's a great suggestion.
Okay.
Now I'm going to have a long discussion with my wife, and I appreciate your time, sir, and thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And again, if you want to check out Christian Credit Counselors, my friends there have worked with hundreds and hundreds of our listeners to get their interest rates down and get their debt paid off 80% faster. You're not replacing the debt with a new loan. You're leaving it right where it is. You're just accessing a lower interest rate through debt management. You'd go on their website, ChristianCreditCounselors.org. And thanks for your call today, Vaughn. God bless you, my friend. To Kentucky. Hi, William. How can I help you?
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your call.
My question is, I worked all my life and I had a real good credit when I was working for the railroad. I could just borrow money, no problem at all. And and then I left there and ended up on another job. I got hurt in 2003 and I haven't worked since. Well, when I left the work, I had excellent credit. I could just do, like I say, borrow money and do all this. So I haven't had to borrow any money in the last several years. I do all right without it, but I was thinking about buying a house, and you have to have money to get that house, but I don't have no credit, and I had good credit. I just wonder, where did it go? I haven't beat nobody out of nothing. I don't owe nobody nothing. What happened to that good credit that I had?
Yeah. Well, it's probably not bad credit that's hurting you. It's a lack of credit. And so, as you said, you've not really needed to access credit much in the last number of years. And that lack of history, just based on the way the algorithms work, is actually pulling your credit score down, because at the same time, you're not misusing credit. You're not demonstrating your credit worthiness by being an on-time payer, which is one of the challenges in the current system, because the current credit scoring formulas, although there's some changes to this that you can take advantage of now, primarily rely on your repayment of debt as opposed to just meeting your obligations, like keeping your rent paid on time or your utilities paid, that kind of thing. And there are credit boosters now available that can bring some of that into the equation. But a typical lender is going to look at your FICO score or your Vantage score, and that's just basically looking at how likely are you to repay as agreed, as evidenced by your ability to keep your payments on time. But if you've paid off everything and you don't have any credit, that's one of the flaws in the system, because you're actually following biblical principles and managing money wisely, but you're not being rewarded for it in your credit score. So where do you go from here? Well, you need to basically slowly rebuild that with some positive credit history. You could get a credit card, an unsecured card, if somebody would give that to you. What is your score today, do you know, roughly?
It
wouldn't be zero. And that maybe is your next step, is to pull your credit score. You can do that for free at a website called creditkarma.com. I know it's a silly name, but credit, K-A-R-M-A.com. You could pull your credit score for free. Find out what your credit score is. It's probably in the mid-600s, maybe somewhere between 640 to 675, I would guess. I have no idea. I'm just guessing. But we want to try to get it up. You really want to get it above 720 before you go look for that house. So one of the ways you can do that would be to apply for a credit card. If you're comfortable using a credit card, I would just find a small recurring bill that you have every month. It's something you've already planned on. You already pay it and just put it on that credit card. It could be a utility payment or something like that. And then just pay it off every month. And as that hits your account and as you pay it off, you're now an on-time payer and that credit card is going to be reported to your credit report. And that's going to quickly help you rebuild your credit. If they won't give you an unsecured card because your score is too low, you could get a secured credit card. You'd just go into your bank, tell them you want a secured card. You'd put a couple of $100 on deposit. They'd give you a card collateralized by that, and you'd do the same thing I just mentioned, a recurring budgeted charge every month, pay it off in full. You don't pay any interest, but it's being reported to your credit file as an on-time payer, and that's going to help you get that score up.
Okay, one more quick question. I'll get out of your way. This bank that you're talking about, I've done it for many years, probably 30 years at the same bank. Although I don't have no credit score to mount anything, if they wanted to loan me the money, could they? Could they just go ahead and loan it to me without a high credit score, or would they be against the rules?
For a house?
Yes, sir.
They certainly can. There is something called a no-doc loan. The problem is that's mainly for your income. They're always going to look at your credit score, and they have certain ranges. And if you're not in a certain range, either A, they won't be able to give you the loan, or B, it's automatically going to push your interest rate up. And so it's in your best interest to get that credit score up so you can either qualify and or qualify with the very best rates and terms.
I see. Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, I heard on the radio, get out of debt, get out of debt, get out of debt. That's what they were telling this other advisor. He said, pay them off, get out of debt. Well, I did. Now I'm in this. Like you said, I went and done what the Bible said. I mean, I paid everybody. I'm out of debt. Now I can't get nothing.
I know. It's disheartening to know that by following God's way, which is always the right way, you're not always going to be rewarded in the world system, unfortunately. But I guess that's something we get used to. All right, sir. Thank you for calling, William. God bless you. And I've enjoyed my time with you today. Hey, let's finish up today in Illinois. Ted, you'll be our final caller. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a big fan of your show.
Thank you.
I'm 62 years old, and I could pay off my house in 3 years. I have no retirement account at all except for Social Security.
Yeah.
So now my mortgage is 2.4%, but I keep hearing you say, you know, the CD's paying like 3.5 or whatever. So should I pay off my mortgage or should I? I don't have any debt. I got about $10,000 in savings.
Yeah.
So
what would you use to pay off? What would you use to pay off the mortgage?
85,000.
But where is that money today?
No, I'm saying I could pay it off in 3 years.
Oh, out of your current cash flow.
Yeah, I'm a truck driver. I make about $85,000 a year.
Okay.
90.
And what are you going to live on when you get to retirement?
Just Social Security.
And is that going to be enough?
Well, if my house is paid for, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I like the idea, Ted, of you prioritizing paying off that mortgage by the time you retire. So figure out what your retirement date is, your expected one. We realize that could change. And I would prioritize getting out of debt, regardless of that interest rate, by retirement. You're going to enjoy peace of mind and flexibility. You'll get that biggest expense on your budget out of the equation, and it's going to make it that much easier for you to live on Social Security. And if you keep working after you paid off the mortgage, you've got money now. You can be building up a greater reserve savings account. So I like that idea. I think you'll be thrilled you did it. Let me just say, in all the years I've been doing this, I've never had somebody call me and say, Rob, I paid off my house last year and I've regretted it ever since. I don't get that call, Ted. So I think you'll be thrilled. Hey, thanks for your call today, my friend. God bless you. Folks, we're so grateful you were along with us today. I want to say thanks to my team. I couldn't do this without them. Robert Sutherland, Pat Montague, and Devin Patrick, plus the entire team at American Family Radio. So thankful for this partnership. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance. Hope you'll come back and join us tomorrow. We'll be here, Lord willing, to do it all over again. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.